Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Karen Tate, and welcome to this special show called Our Messiah of 10,000 Names, the Magna Mater Palm Sunday Message, which I gave yesterday at the Goddess Temple of Orange County. And please be sure to tune in later this week for my regular show, which will be Thursday of this week. And on Wednesday, I have for you my traditional spring meditation that I hope you will avail yourself of. And if you are interested in the opening cut that opened the show today, that is Arms of the Mother by Abigail Spinner McBride. But let's get to it. Our Messiah of 10,000 Names, Magna Mater, Palm Sunday, which yesterday was. Within Judeo-Christian tradition, Palm Sunday traditionally commemorates the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. The Gospels record the arrival of Jesus riding into the city on a donkey, while the crowd spread their cloaks and palm branches on the street to honor him as their long-awaited Messiah and King. But long before the new religion of Christianity arose, the Great Mother was celebrated in the ancient world at this season of spring by carrying in processions of branches of palms, pines, and other trees. Herstory records a creatrix and Messiah, she of 10,000 names, far, far older than the deities of Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and more recent religions. So, yesterday morning, I humbly took on the role of contemporary bard and prophetess to reclaim the herstory of the long-awaited return of the great She, Goddess, our female Messiah of 10,000 names, and together we visioned and prophesied what that coming would look like, because that is the Goddess way. How might life be different with the divine feminine or goddess birthed at the center of the world, particularly for women and our like-minded brothers, without the domination of patriarchy's clenched fists? Ah, but wait, that is the end of the tale, isn't it? To understand how things have come to be turned so upside down, let us start at the place where every good bard starts their telling of what came to pass. Let us start at the beginning. As many of you know from the artifacts of their devoted, goddess was revered on this planet we call Gaia as much as 40,000 years ago, long before a male god, which is a relatively new invention. Gaia, our great creatrix, brought forth all we needed to sustain ourselves so that life might take hold and thrive. And we believe women were revered because they brought forth new life. They were seen as powerful. They could bleed without dying. And this was very magical indeed. Women watched and learned from Mother Nature. They began to understand how goddesses like Demeter gave us the seed, and women soon birthed the skills of agriculture. From the mistress of the animals, they learned animal husbandry. They used her plants to heal the sick, help bring babies into the world, becoming the first doctors and pharmacologists, holding life and death in their hands, and they brought forth from their sacred yonis new life. Communities began to flourish, and they brought us art, music, and dancing. In many places, women were primary or lived in egalitarian societies with men in peace. Just like today, women were the glue that held the family units and communities together. We know marriage was not always required, and children were raised by the women and the uncles of the tribe. Women passed their authority and assets down through their daughters, and men were granted power through the goddess or the queen. Goddesses like Themis and Athena brought us law and wisdom, libertas and kali, social justice, Sedna, environmentalism, and a warning against greed and exploitation. Goddess myths taught us everything we needed to know to thrive and balance on the planet and with each other. And yes, she was celebrated across continents and cultures. Women baked cakes for the Queen of Heaven. They offered up piglets at the temples of Demeter and Persephone, or incense and wine were sacrificed to Artemis. Boats laden with precious offerings were launched into the sea to honor Isis. And in Rome at this time of year, we know the festival of the entry of the tree, when clergy of Magna Mater, the Great Mother, also known as Cybele, carried pine or palm trees and their branches through the city to celebrate her. As with so many Christian practices like Palm Sunday, their origins were co-opted from already existing pagan beliefs and rituals. But soon, in many different places over much time and for many reasons, patriarchy was born, and this time of peace and prosperity would not last. You see, people began to think of the I and the me instead of the us and the we. They began to think of growing their personal property at the expense of others and Mother Earth instead of our collective well-being. They took woman, the animals, and the earth to be their possessions, their chattel, and there was great suffering across all the lands to this very day. And with this shift, this great gender side, life as we knew it came to pass. Along with the marginalizing of women, adversaries of the great sacred feminine tried to sweep away awareness and knowledge of her for all time. And with that sweeping away, when the great she was made to disappear because of the religion of selfish and disconnected men and their war gods, women and their power, their leadership, their natural spiritual authority were thwarted, repressed, became taboo, diminished, and disrespected. And the men, they suffered too. We know if a culture reveres a war god, that culture will be a warrior culture. If that culture has only male leadership, that culture will be dominated by men, and thus it was for thousands of years. This imbalance, this injustice, this abomination. Women once considered sacred, the earth once seen as sacred, the animals once seen as gifts from the She of 10,000 Names, all became commodities of the patriarchy, of the authoritarian father, rather than the nurturing, life-affirming, compassionate, and empathetic mother. Not that long ago, it was questioned if women even had souls and their wombs were no more than an incubator for the male seed. Yes, there was a great sadness upon the land and among her peoples because only a few at the top reaped the benefit of all the resources of Mother Earth, and the rest of us were left scraping by at the bottom of the heap. So how did that manifest itself for women in everyday life? What are the consequences of sweeping away the great she? What happened when women are no longer equal and associated with the Divine Mother? Well, I share with you these inhumanities against the feminine on the planet. First, domestic violence and sexual abuse. Second, the barbarity of female genital mutilation, or FGM. And if you don't know what that is, you'll want to know, because that's where a woman's sacred yoni is cut with a sharpened shell or knife so that her sexuality might be controlled, because with this mutilation, she cannot enjoy sex. Yes, this abomination happens even here in the United States, leaving women with physical and emotional suffering for a lifetime. 70% of women retire in poverty after a lifetime of institutionalized discrimination in the workplace without equal pay or for staying home to care for their families. Women's leadership is thwarted. While being the majority of humans in our country and on the planet, there's less than 20% representation by women in Congress, corporate America, religious institutions, and academia. Women and children are at the margins of societies the world over, suffering from the worst health care, education, and human rights. Millions of children go to bed hungry in the United States, and working families and seniors live in poverty. White women are paid only 74 cents on the dollar compared to men, and less if they're Hispanic or black. Bride burning and arranged marriages still exist. Women may be shunned from families or seen to bring shame to their family if they've been raped or believed to have committed adultery. Tragic consequences for them can include being stoned to death. Distorted views of women and sexuality resulting in obsessive and unhealthy pornography industry. Case in point, the recent American Academy Awards show with the opening skit singing about women's boobs. Women are being duped by the evangelical new feminism that encourages submissiveness and dependence. In groups like the Quiverful movement, women must continue to give birth past the point when it's medically safe. And if they die in childbirth, well, they're assured of their status in heaven as a martyr for their God. Human trafficking, also known as slavery, and forced prostitution are profound problems across the globe. Many Christian women are taught grounds for divorce might be abandonment or adultery, but not abuse. So what kind of signal does that send? Well, it says, suck it up, sister. If you want to be a good wife in the eyes of the church and patriarchy, suck it up. Boy children are valued while female babies are still killed at birth in poor countries because they may cost the family an expensive marriage dowry later in life. We see in India and China today there is a shortage of marriageable women because this practice of killing girl babies has been so prevalent. Just a few weeks ago, we heard in this very temple the story of Fazia Kufi, now called the favored daughter, but she wasn't always that. She was left out in the sun to die by a mother who was ashamed of giving birth to a female in society that honors only males. But miraculously, she lived, and she's now a member of the Afghani parliament and will run for president of Afghanistan in the 2014 elections, if she survives. Sexuality in our sacred blood is dirty now and unclean, and by association, so too are women in many places. Menstruation and female reproduction, while once our sacred blood was seen as magical, a life-giving force and coveted by men for its power, well, even today women are cast out to the menstrual hut. Women today are still in danger of losing access to contraception and losing access to abortion right here in the United States. Despite the recent election where the majority of Americans rejected their policies, Republicans in red states continue their war on women, passing laws restricting women's access to abortion and contraception. A distorted and largely unattainable view of beauty has millions of women with eating disorders and flocking to cosmetic surgeons. Women and attributes equated with the feminine consciousness are seen as inferior to men, with far-reaching consequences for both genders. You know, we live in a country where rugged individualism is embraced with no consideration that the playing field out there is not level or fair or equal. Where caring, sharing, and nurturing are considered weak, or poverty is seen as a punishment from God for laziness. Rape is still used as a weapon of war. Some even believe if you're raped, you must have asked for it, because certainly legitimate rape will not result in an unwanted pregnancy. Women are programmed to help perpetuate this list of sins rather than encouraging self-empowerment in a climate where women support women. Both genders try to shame those of us calling for the empowerment and equality of women, ugly words like feminazi. But we will not be silenced. Do you hear me? We will not be silenced. Republicans continue to refuse to pass pro-women legislation, including equal pay for equal work legislation. And after not passing it several times, some, not all, were eventually shamed into reluctantly passing the Violence Against Women Act or face public humiliation. And finally, as we have all forgotten the value and the belief of the interconnectedness of all things, so too have we diminished and marginalized the important role of women as life givers in the natural order of the universe. Yes, this is all a sobering state of affairs for sure. But this is the herstory of women on this planet. I repeat, this is the herstory of women on this planet. Let it be known so that we might cherry pick the best of our herstory and allow the light of transparency to burn away all these aforementioned injustices. But surely this is not the end of the story. Surely. because Goddess is alive and magic is afoot, and we are powerful, and we are here to write the next chapter. We are all dedicated to recovering the great she, whether she be deity, archetype, or ideal. Yes, we intend to defy, to taste the forbidden fruit, to be powerful and uppity women and men, not patriarchal pawns or brainwashed sheeple. Every day we throw off the shackles, look under every rock, behind every locked door, peer into the abyss of the past so we know why things are the way they are, and we shed light on the injustices so we can explain how life has come to be so turned on its head and so unnatural. And we're going to go about setting things right. Why? Because if we want to save ourselves as a species and pull ourselves from the brink, I think we have no other choice. If we want to restore balance, harmony, wholeness, sanity, equality, it is we and the us, women armed with the ideas of the sacred feminine, who will set things back on course. So now I want to turn it over to you. Just as men once told of the coming of the Judeo-Christian Messiah, Jesus, it is your turn to write the script and manifest the future. What does the coming of the Messiah, she of 10,000 names, bring to life on this planet? How does rebirthing Goddess at the center of our hearts and minds change society? Today, here, right now, we must vision it before we can manifest it for ourselves. So stand up and let us hear your sacred roar. Stand up and let us hear you. Well, I'm going to share with you some of the ideas. Women and men at the Goddess Temple yesterday stood up and roared. These are some of the things they said would change with the coming of the Messiah of She of 10,000 Names. There would be an end to violence against women. There would be world peace. Our country's budget would be used to spend on uplifting the people and not the military-industrial complex. Our tax dollars would go to enhancing our quality of life, not corporate welfare. Our political parties would have women and children and the environment and life-affirming policies on their political platforms rather than the interests of corporations. There would be universal health care, guaranteed education, religious tolerance. Women would be ordained as priests. There would be equal pay for equal work. No more burqas or women not allowed to go to school or drive or held hostage in their homes wearing slippers so their footsteps might even be heard. Greed would once again be considered one of the seven deadly sins. Greed is taboo. Anyone who would commit violence against another human or animal would be shamed by society. Rape of the earth would not be tolerated. Natural resources would be free for all on the planet, and no longer can oil companies gouge us for what is ours. Likewise, no more wars over water. Environmentalism would be part of our new religion. The interconnectedness of all things is taught in our churches and schools everywhere, along with herstory. And women would know and men would know that women are not here to serve men. We are here to be equal and free. We are here to live in peace and equality and harmony. We would see our bodies, our sacred blood, our sexuality as sacred and divine once more. And everyone would have the security of knowing they will earn a living wage and can retire in dignity. Empowering women is and will be the moral imperative of our time. And women will take on the mantle of leadership, not waiting for it to be given to us. Red tents and women's herstory would be required learning across the globe. Yes, those were just some of the changes that will come with the female Messiah. I invite you to sit down and think about it and write down some of the things you foresee, because until we can vision it, we cannot manifest it. Blessed be.
Evil, Mama.